Today's message is It's the Little Things by Dr. Herbert Bailey.
Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke 19. For the sake of time, I'm going to go right to this verse text rather than the context. Comes from Luke 19, 12 through 17. But verse 17 says, "And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in," read the next part with me, "very little, have thou authority over 10 cities." Because thou hast been faithful in very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. Now, I did not finish The Results of Neglect, but this started burning in me, and the Lord had me prepare this as I was coming back early this week in the plane. And the subject is simply this: it's the little things. Will you look at somebody and say, "It's the little thing. It's the little things." Most of you know that Pastor Marcia and I just celebrated 30 years of marriage in Paris. And when we got back home, we went to a concert up in Charlotte. Can't tell you what concert it is because some of y'all can't go to the concerts we go to. You ain't that spiritual. So we went to a concert in Charlotte. We were coming out of the one of the attorneys in our city who my son had worked with saw us, and he just looked at me and said, he said, "Your son got married in Louisiana. You spent a week in," he said, "you spent a week in Paris, and now you're here." And he didn't even greet me. I said, "You all in my business." He said, "Well, you put all your business on Facebook." That's why I tell you, you can't tell folks to get out your business if you put your business on Facebook. So again, so most of the world knows we spent a week in Paris for our 30th anniversary. And in terms of expenses, personal expenses, because I've traveled the world at ministry expenses. But this was the longest and the broadest we had traveled with personal expenses. And so this was a big thing. How many brothers, how many of y'all think that's a big thing? Come on, brother, ain't that a big thing? Yeah. Ladies, how many of y'all think that's a big thing? Go to Paris for a week, okay? Then ask her for a dime. And so I think this is about the biggest thing I've ever done for my wife. And she left the hurt, she tell you, "Well, that was for you, okay?" But we both enjoyed it. But I, as a promise I was keeping to her, that I made to her when she was 18 years old, okay? And it was over 30 years before it came to pass, but it came to pass. Look at your neighbor, tell him there's no expiration dates on God's promises, no expiration dates. And I've done all kinds of big things for my wife. I bought my wife cars, okay? My wife has had at least two Mercedes. Mercedes convertible. She now drives a Range Rover, and she had never made a payment on any of those. Now, I ain't trying to get, brother, don't get mad at me. I ain't trying to get y'all in trouble or nothing. Okay? I think those are some pretty big things. Okay? And, you know, one time, her claim to fame is that one of my kids needed a car, and she made the payments on that car. And she kept saying, I paid for this car. That car wasn't nothing compared to that Range Rover and that Cadillac and those Mercedes, but she paid for that car. Okay. But in terms of personal car, I've taken my wife on trips. I've bought all kinds of jewelry. I bought her houses. Some she liked better than others. But I bought her houses, etc., etc. And then, especially coming back recently from Paris, I'm like, "Yes, sir. I ain't going to hear a complaint for at least a year." Because this was the big one. Y'all know, come on. And ladies, y'all don't know, this is our brother's thing. We think that if we do certain big things, you ought to just shut up about the little things. Now, we may not tell you that. That's how we think. Because it's like y'all know, like video games. You know, certain things you do, you get a bunch of new lives. And so figure Paris at least 10 lives. I got at least 10 lives added in this marriage because of Paris. And so don't matter what I leave where, I took you to Paris. Okay. Hey, come on. Please don't disrupt the message, Pastor. I'm working on something here. Just work with me. Work with me here. Don't matter if I accidentally raise my voice a little bit. Don't say nothing, because I took you to Paris. Whether I forgot to hold the door, don't say nothing about that little stuff, because I took you to Paris. But brothers, come on, y'all know it don't work like that. And from our perspective, when we do the big things, they should never complain, never trip, never have an issue, never have an opinion about the little things. That ain't true, brothers. Because it's the little things. Most marriages, in many cases, some cases, they ain't work. Some marriages break up not because of big things, but because of little things that went on too long. It was a little thing, but it lasted a long time. And sometimes things start as a little thing, but evolves to a bigger thing. But it's the little things. And in the kingdom of God, little things matter. In the context, it says this is how the kingdom of God works. Like a man who went to a far country and he had 10 servants and he gave them 10 pounds or some money and said to them, occupy, do business with what I've given you until I return. He says, but some of the citizens hated him and they sent a message to him and said, we're not going to have this man to reign over us. Who he left in charge. And it came to pass when he returned, having received the kingdom, he commanded those servants to whom he had given money to see how much they had gained by trading. And then verse 16 says, the first came and said, here your pound, but I've gained 10 additional pounds. And he said, because you have taken, in economic terms, a small amount and at least doubled it, The Lord says you've been faithful over very little. So that tells us that in the economy, 10 pounds was very little. But because you've been faithful in the very little, now you're going to have authority over 10 cities. Watch this. Because you've been faithful with $10, now I'll put you over 10 cities. Somebody said, well, that has nothing to do with this. No, but it's the little things that show whether you can handle the big things. In the kingdom of God, little things matter. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 chapter 26 through 29, Paul reminds the church, he said, you need to understand, God sees little things. And God gets glory from little things and insignificant things. So he says in 1 Corinthians 1, 26, he said, so you see, brethren, your calling, not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty after the flesh, not many nobles after the flesh. That's 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Not many mighty or noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish thing. Can I say little things? The foolish thing, the little things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things, can I say little things, of the world to confound the things that are mighty. He said, God will take little insignificant things and insignificant people and do something so great with it that the people who are big and already had it going on are amazed. He said, and God will take the base things, can I say, the little things of the world, things which are despised. Surely that doesn't mean anything. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Jersey City? The little things God has chosen, and the things which are not or nothing, to bring to nothing the things that people notice. And why does God do this? So no flesh would glory in his presence. God says, I will take little things, little people, insignificant things, insignificant people, and put them among princes and kings and prime ministers and presidents just to make the folks who think they should have been there stand there with their mouth open and have to say, there is a God. There is a God. And God will do things in a way that only he will get the glory. Take little things and make them become great things. Remember what God says to Saul through Samuel when the kingdom ends up being taken from him? He said, your problem is you got too big. He said, when you were little in your own eyes, the Lord made you to be Lord over his people and gave you this kingdom. When you were little, he said, but now you think you don't need God. You've gotten too big. As some of our parents would have said, too big for your britches. Or some would say, you start smelling yourself. Okay? You become so big now. God said, but as long as you remain little in my sight and let me be big, I'll exalt you. But when you flip that thing around, when you become big and make God little, God said, I will abase you even more because it's the little things that matter. Jesus valued little things. Throughout the scriptures, we see Jesus talking about little things, noticing little things and what other people think were insignificant. In Matthew 10:29, Jesus talks about two sparrows, which are the least of the birds. I grew up not knowing a whole lot about birds, but one thing we had a lot in Jersey City, we had sparrows. Had sparrows, we had pigeons. When I got older, I learned about cardinals and blue jays and all those. But the sparrow is one of the most insignificant people of birds. People don't travel to the tropics to see the sparrow. People don't collect sparrows. People don't study sparrows. And Jesus talked about, he said, are not two sparrows the least of the birds so far farthing? If you look it up, what we would consider a penny. So you can get two of them for a penny. Okay? And one of them, and yet one of them shall not fall to the ground without your father knowing it. He said, what's little to people, God takes notice of. Luke 12:6, he says, are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? Y'all see that? You can get two for one and get five for two. That's how insignificant the sparrows are in Luke 12:6. There are five sparrows you can get for two coins, for two pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God. God notices little things. God notices what we call little people. If he did not notice little things and little people, nobody in here would be saved today. Because it was not that you were so great that God saved you. But like he did for the children, he said, because he loved you. Not because of who you were, but because what he saw, he could make you. Not because what you did, but what he saw you could do. Are y'all listening to me this morning? David valued little things. Psalm 36:16. He reminds us. He says, I know y'all comparing yourself to the world. He said, but a little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. Solomon valued little things. He says in Proverbs 15:16, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Sometimes we got to go through enough life experience to find that out. Well, Solomon goes later on. He says, when riches increase, so are those that eat it. In other words, there's a lot of responsibility that goes with the stuff. How many of y'all know you got to maintain what you obtain? I know you want a BMW. I know you want a Mercedes. I know you want yourself a G-Wagon. Uh-huh. But you want yourself a Range Rover, but you complain about the price of regular gas. You put regular gas in those cars and your car going to be on the side of the road. Are you following me? Sometimes we want the big things without knowing the responsibility that goes with the big thing. So you need to learn to value little things. Solomon valued little things. That again in Proverbs 15:16, New Living Translation, that verse says, it's better to have a little with the fear of the Lord than to have great treasure and inner turmoil. Now you need to understand, he is not, even though over the years the church always made it seem like he had to make a choice between Jesus and riches. I'm so glad I found out you didn't have to make a choice. You can have both. But what he's saying here, if you had to choose, it's better to have little with godliness. Is what Proverbs 16 and 8 says. Better have little with godliness than to be rich and be dishonest. Everybody says the little things. It's so important, y'all, for us to understand that God promotes us through faithfulness in little things. God promotes us through faithfulness in little things. And so Jesus sets out that principle in Luke 16. And it's interesting, in the context that he first sets it, he sets it out regarding a man who was an unjust steward and knew what to do with the money and how to manage. And he goes on and he says in Luke 16 and 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in least is unjust also in much. Now, who said this, y'all? Jesus said, if you're faithful in least, you're faithful in much. Now, I know you think you know more than Jesus. So you say, no, I will tithe when I get a $10,000 increase. No, I honest to goodness. We ain't supposed to swear, but you'll swear to it. I will tithe. If I was making $100,000, I definitely would tithe. So you saying Jesus is a liar. Because Jesus said, if you ain't tithing off of $10,000, don't expect me to give you $100,000. Because you show that you're going to manage the $100,000 by how you manage the $10,000. I told y'all many years ago, the Lord had to let me see that throughout my adult life, I never had a money problem, but I had wisdom problems. For where I was, I always had enough money, but if you lack wisdom, you'll despise little things. You need wisdom in the little thing before God gives you the big thing. Okay, let's make this real plain for you. New Living Translation makes it a little plainer. In Luke 16:10, he said, if you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Everybody says the little things. Let's think about some little things that we think don't matter. Things like being faithful in church attendance. It matters to God. Things like being on time. It matters. Brother Carlton, I had to tell him how we used to come to church. We were late for church. We ran in like we were trying to be there on time. They come in now and they start having a conversation in the parking lot while praise and worship going on. Hey, how you doing? Good girl, good to see you. No, y'all supposed to be in church. And what really bothers me, and there's a time to greet people, acknowledge people, but if you really want to do that, you really should have got here early, because when prayer going on, that ain't time to be, hey, how you doing? Yeah, we praying. Yeah. Yeah. I know y'all think that stuff doesn't mean anything, but that's the little things. And then you wonder why God's not giving you your own. Then you wonder why your business is failing. Because here's the deal. Because when you're over your own, you don't want employees to be faithful to little things. You don't want employees to show up on time. Uh-huh. You don't want them coming late, leaving early, and taking long lunches. You don't want them stealing your pens and taking reams of paper home. I keep telling y'all, I know it comes up in my spirit all the time. Some of y'all been working for that company for 10 years. You got a home computer and a printer and you ain't never bought your own paper. Because you always bring it from the office. Help us today, Jesus. Help us, Lord. Everybody says the little things. I was joking about it. I laughed about it. I went to one of our young men, I ain't going to mention the name, I went to an affair he was having. He had recently graduated from college and they had his certificates up and they had his different things up. And I walked up, it was held on our camp, and I saw this rug that had the college on it. I'm the only one who noticed it. I said, where you get that rug from? He said, Pastor, you're the only one asked. When you graduate from college, they give you a degree. They don't give you a rug that says such and such college on it. The end of your graduate college, they gave you a rug. And the reason why I know that, see, I got, you know, over the years, I've got some of that borrowed, given property in my house. My kids went to different schools, played sports, and we got a collection of chairs from those schools. I guess they just gave them to them because they played on a team. You get a shirt, get some shorts, and you get a chair. And we're laughing, y'all, but sometimes it's those little things we don't think about. But those little things matter. Faithfulness in church attendance. Consistency in the little tithe. Being on time. Taking care of that hoopty. Taking care of that hoopty. This ain't my real car. You know, when I get my real car, it's going to be shining. You know what I'm saying? I don't worry about, you know, it's just a Fiesta. It's just a Yugo. Somebody say, what's a Yugo? They gone. when I get my Mercedes, when I get my new car, then I'm going to keep that one clean. No, if your car look like you collect trash from McDonald's now, it's probably, you'll do the same thing to the Mercedes. Because you keep reproducing who you are. Young lady came up to me in my church a couple weeks ago, and she's had issues and had to go live with various family members. I know she's had some problems. And this one. And I said, did you notice something? I said, there's one thing common with all these problems everywhere you go. I said, have you figured that out? She said, huh? I said, it's the same thing that keeps showing up when you have all these, everywhere you go. She said, what, God? I said, no, you. At some point, y'all, we got to realize a lot of issues we have is not the enemy. It's the enemy in me. Are y'all listening to me? And it's the little things. And sometimes we get mad at God. God, why did you? You said you supply all my needs. Yeah, I did, but you bought it. You wearing your needs. You didn't need another pair of shoes, but those was on sale. So that's the excuse why you had to get them. It's the little things. Taking care of that hoopty to show that, if I keep this one clean, you know my Mercedes going to be clean. If I take care of this one, you know I'm going to take care of that new one. That's how you demonstrate faithfulness. Volunteering in an area of ministry that others don't notice. If you're willing to be part of a cleaning crew to show up once a month, we got not one person to sign up in a church of almost 3,000 people. Know why? Because it's a little thing. And we think that don't matter to God. And yet we think we're going to have some great ministry. God called me to the world. But it may start right in your local church. Ain't no may. It does start in your local church. Anybody say it's the little things? In the kingdom of God, God blesses, increases, and magnifies little things. Things that people don't notice. Things that people don't notice. You'd be surprised to hear the testimonies, okay? That group there, Providence, my friend Carlton Pope. I know the place. He knows the place where I preached at. He knows the place I still go back and preach to. I know the places he's played at. And now he's been around the world. But it started in little things where he wasn't being paid a dime. Are y'all still here? Did y'all leave? Mm-hmm. It's little things. In the kingdom of God, God blesses, increases, and magnifies little things. Matthew 13. Jesus speaks a parable. Matthew 13:31. He says that the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. He mentions and makes reference to the smallest known seed, a mustard seed.
Sometimes we may despise our humble beginnings or neglect the things that seem insignificant, but every big ending started small. When your life looks ideal, it may be easy to forget the simple prayer it took to bring you out of depression. Maybe you hate going back to the small town you grew up in. Now that you live in the big city, Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey encourage you to never lose sight of the little things in this transforming series. Order these resources today for your love gift of $15 or more. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to writedirection.info. Ask for It's the Little Things. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.